On this particular demo, the focus is more on issues and hot topics at the time, taken from the syndicated show and my afternoon show for 8 years on WZTK FM Talk 101.1. The other demo is more on entertainment and high-profile guests and technology and pop culture. And we also throw in some hot-button issues on that show, too. It's essentially the same show, only a little more emphasis on high-profile guests. I hope you like it.
Welcome to the Alan Handelman Show.
It's not a crime to be conservative. It's not a crime to be liberal. You can be whatever you want. It's the misinformation. That's the crime.
But you see, I'm after information, not affirmation.
That's something we're losing in this country, and I think kids have to be taught how to critically think.
Sammy claims in his new book he was once abducted by aliens from another planet.
Yeah, sure.
Turns out a whole mix-up, just a big mistake. The aliens thought they're getting David Lee Roth. It was a whole thing, and they realized, yeah.
What do you think of that?
I think that's pretty funny, and I'll tell you what, but I think the aliens knew who they were getting with.
What is the definition of winning the war? Was it worth it? I mean, none of what we wanted when we all rallied around President Bush, or most of the country did, what we really wanted was to get bin Laden. I may be wrong. You tell me. Let's go to James, Fort Bragg.
All right, Alan. Anybody who thinks we should stay there, they got to get their head out of their you-know-what.
I think enough is enough. I don't think they're going to thank us one bit. I don't trust their government. Jack Abramoff is here with us. Do you see some of the candidates who seem to be part of the system? They've been in the system for a long time. Do you think they're disingenuous when they talk about corruption and lobbyists and the impact of some of this stuff going on? I mean, it sounds like to me everybody during the election always says, well, we got to stamp this out. We got to clean this up. But, you know, look what they've done in the past.
Well, I mean, you know, the problem is that it's so pervasive. Virtually everybody who comes here transitions from here to going into the lobbying industry. So either when they're in office, they're watching out to deal with lobbyists and to protect lobbyists, or when they're done, they become lobbyists, or frankly, they call themselves strategic advisors or whatever. These days, nobody's a lobbyist, of course, except me.
We're talking to the mafia lady, Linda Melito. She is the real-life model for Camilla Soprano.
So the mob at that time had pull with the Selective Service.
Oh, sure. They had pull with everything. Celebrities. I mean, everything. Look at Sam Giancana. Look at Phyllis McGuire. I mean, now all of a sudden, De Niro and Sorkazy. I mean, but I'm going to tell you something about De Niro. Don't believe what they write, okay? Just don't. You can believe every word I say.
You were married to the guy.
I mean,
John Gotti was like coming over.
Gotti was nothing. Gotti was a punk. Okay, I'll be honest, I know of that he killed one guy.
Presidential candidate, Congressman Ron Paul. It is an honor to have you on.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Just as a comparison, your views, how they differ when it comes to civil liberties from Michelle Bachmann or even Mitt Romney, if you want, the two front runners.
I think I'd put the whole group of other candidates in the same category. I think they defend the status quo, whether it's foreign policy, civil liberties, or intervention here at home. But they're all very weak, I think, on the civil liberties issue because they're frightened and intimidated and insecure about allowing people to make their own decisions. Why can't we trust people to decide what they put in their own bodies?
We're talking to John Stossel on how the new show is doing.
And I just have never been much of a talker. When I do your show, I'm always impressed how you can just talk. You often explain things that I have done better than I do. I think, what? I'm not a big talker. I want to edit everything and script it.
I'm not quite comfortable at it. I'm used to editing my pieces and cutting out the boring parts and getting to do it over again if I space out or something. And this idea of live TV and the live audience, they're really good at it over at Fox. They've had more practice. I'm struggling. I'm sick of being a generalist. I'm no longer interested in the murder of the week. There wasn't room for that at ABC. And so I, in a frustrating day, called Roger, and I was happy that he took the call and said, let's talk. And he said, okay, you know, you're not one of those lazy network types, are you? And I said, no, I used to do local news. I can work as hard as they work at Fox. And so he said, well, we would want you to do stuff for Fox News and O'Reilly and Beck and our non-opinion shows and also 4 specials a year and also a show for Fox Business.
Whoa.
I think the people like you in radio who go to TV, live TV, are much more successful.
Pat Buchanan has a new book out. It's not the first. He's had 3 or 4 controversial books out. This one called State of Emergency. When you went on the book tour, people at MSNBC seem happy about it. In fact, most of the people I've read are very upset that you're not there. They're not happy about it at all. They're your friends. What happened?
I am a heretic to the prevailing orthodoxy, which is becoming more and more intolerant. And so they call me all these names that give them the legitimate right, they say, to silence him, shut him up, get him off the air. I've got a lot of friends in front of the camera over there and behind the camera. That's why I don't want to be hostile or caustic. And I liked the 10 years. I enjoyed it, but I'm gone.
It's really tough to get people to hear all sides of the story. It is so frustrating to try to communicate or talk with somebody who only gets their news from one side. They hear what the other side says only through the eyes of those people or blogs they go to. That's totally their exposure to competing or opposing views.
It really scares me to think that there's people that will not listen to another side of a story. That's
Man,
the way, and that's kind of scary.
It is, especially when it happens to you, and you actually know somebody in your life who's like that, and it gets to the point that they're important, you want to keep them as friends, so you just stick with the stuff you have in common. But it is scary when the information that you hear they repeat or what they heard on a particular cable channel isn't the whole story.
We have Jesse Ventura with us. Why would anyone want to run for president with the way the climate is politically today?
Well, you better be honest before you do it, because if you've done anything, it's going to be exposed. I'll tell you a story. When I won governor, Ric Flair and Gene Okerlund came to visit me, Ric Flair the wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick had his sights set on that he might run for governor of North Carolina. I wasn't adverse to that. And I said, well, Rick, do you have any skeletons in your closet? And whatever you've done, come out beforehand and admit to everything you've done. Well, Rick then explained to me that he had like 200 speeding tickets, some astronomical number. And I looked at him and I said, Rick, you can't run for governor. They will blow you out of the water with that. It's a blatant disregard for law and order.
First of all, I just wanted to say I really do like your show, because I think you show both sides of the story instead of just trying to get people all riled up for the sake of ratings.
Well, thanks. That's why I do it. And, you know, the only people who say otherwise, who think I'm just, there are people who will say everybody in talk radio lies. Everybody does it. As if it's equally shared on the left and on the right.
What frustrates me is when you have discussions with people, they will hear things and they take that as the absolute truth instead of using that as maybe one of the tools to form their own opinion.
You know, there's a lot of good people in broadcasting who are telling you the truth. They're not doing this for the money. They're doing this because they're Americans and they want the best for the country. And there's no good in misleading people. It may be good for your party, but it's not good for the country. Jesse, let's go right into your lawsuit. The last time you were on, we didn't have a chance to get into the details. The whole business with the TSA.
Well, it started in 2008. I had to have surgery where they put carbon titanium steel in my hip. Then, of course, last fall, the government did the enhanced stuff where they came in with these X-ray machines and they came in with the big search that's a sexual assault. I then went to my attorney and I said, I want to sue them. I want them to stop searching me.
So how is this case? What was the ruling?
Out of court. When you go to an airport, they can do anything they want to you. And you can seek no redress because it falls under national security.
So what are you going to do about this? What's your next step?
I can only do what Janet Napolitano said, the head of the Gestapo. Janet said, if you don't like it, don't fly.
Michael Harrison is with us. He is the man who is the editor and founder of Talkers Magazine. Do you think some of us on talk radio have added to the problem of anger and division in this country?
You know, that's a big, big question, and it's not easily answered because it kind of gets into the heart of media theory. I think for the most part, the anger that you hear on talk radio is a reflection of anger.
You know, I actually have made this challenge, and I believe this in my heart. A lot of people think they have these vastly different points of view. I think if I can bring two people together, eyeball to eyeball, and take issue by issue, there's going to be a lot of common ground they don't even know exists.
Well, I guess they need a common enemy.
Yeah, that's right.
There's nothing like a good alien invasion would bring all these warring parties together.
Exactly.
You know, I recall when the Bush refunds occurred, the first refund checks 10 years ago, whenever it was, my wife and I made, we were making a nice six-figure household income, and I recall getting a check for like $500. I'm like, hey, that's $500, but really? I just recall thinking, how are we possibly going to war? And I'm a Navy officer, by
the way. Yeah, I remember that. I remember the check. I remember, okay, maybe it stimulated some people going to the store and paying some bills.
Sure.
But let's be fair here. For the first time in American history, going to war without a war tax. And on top of that, cutting taxes for people making over $250,000 as we go to war. And how do we pay for it? We borrow from China.
Yep.
It's disingenuous to hear this debate without admitting that. I think we have to be honest here. We are profiling certain people more than other people. And I hate to say this, it sounds so rude, but that's common sense. Those are the people who are most likely to cause the problem. Not all the time. There are exceptions, but let's get real here.
Hey, man, I just want to say, first, thanks again for taking all views. You're one of the very few radio shows that does that. And I think we've reached a point in political correctness where we are now ludicrous.
This is the Alan Handelman Show, compelling talk radio.
The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn is going to be published now without the N-word. It will be replaced with the word slave. With us to talk about this and take your calls is Eric Rush, the author of Negrophilia, From Slave Block to Pedestal, America's Racial Obsession. He writes a column on social political topics. I'm just anxious to hear what you think about the idea.
Those who push the far-left orthodoxy have worked really, really hard to make people hypersensitive to the point where now we're editing down, Mark Twain. What are they going to do with it next? Boil it in ammonia? I mean, they edit down Mark Twain, and they're probably going to find other things that they can do. But it's just a very perverse form of censorship.
This is the big beef I have with people. They'll take their views that they have on the side they don't like. Their views are based on what the people they like say the other side believes. Not that they'll listen to all sides of the story on their own and listen to an entire show. They'll listen to a clip or two here and there as it's presented by their side, and that's what they're going to believe.
What I enjoy about your show, and I hope you never change this, is the value of inviting people into the conversation. And I know Rush does that on Fridays or whatever, but Glenn Beck just yells at people sometimes and kind of does a stump speech.
It's ridiculous. Right. None of us really are one thing or the other. If you choose to just wrap yourself around one brand, it's not fair to you. We've had some of these people on the show who say this is a war with radical Islam, and they believe that all Islam has the basis of terrorism, and if you're denying that as an Islamic person, you're lying. They believe that. They believe everybody who's a Muslim, they're like ticking time bomb terrorists that'll go off at any time.
I've actually studied enough of Muslim history as well as Islam, the Quran, the Hadith, to know that this is the only world religion whose founding prophet led military action, conquered cities that wouldn't peacefully convert to his religion, and whose sword is even to this day prayed over 24/7 by imams.
Well, even if that's true, what do you expect the government to do? Run them out of the country? Stop the religion? When you deal with a friend or an acquaintance or somebody every day at a party who says they believe this outrageous stuff that you know to be untrue, how do you handle it?
In a free society, people can talk and say and print and write and even get on TV and say things, but it doesn't mean it's a fact. It doesn't mean it's proven. So if it's not proven, it's not fact, then it's simply a belief or it's a rumor mill, and people can't differentiate the two. I think a lot of the problems are people are dismissive of others when it's not fit in their agenda, or they don't believe it. So they don't have the willingness to even listen.
And that's bad for the country. You used to be able to look at the facts and debate it and come to a conclusion. Now you have your own facts. People stick to their facts. I like my facts. I don't like your facts. So I'm going to stick with what I hear on my favorite show. That's unfortunate.
Hi, this is Angus Young and...
Brian Johnson of AC/DC.
Be here Sunday night as we take over the Alan Handelman Show. I can't tell you now what's going to happen, but I'll tell you this. People are going to be buzzing about it on Monday.
Hi, everybody. This is Alan Handelman. It's going to be an AC/DC party with Malcolm, Brian, and Angus.
This ain't your parents' type of talk show. The Alan Handelman Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Alan Handelman. When we have celebrity types on this show, they usually end up revealing more than they intended to.
I guess in a lot of respects, I'm still socially awkward. And the only problem with that is I'm now on national television where people are not supposed to be awkward under any circumstances.
We talk to the guests other talk shows only wish they could talk to.
And we be listening to the Alan Handelman Show. This is the real Get Down.
Wow. Thanks for sticking it out. I know it was a long demo. Focused mostly on issues. The other demo, more on high-profile guests and entertainment. I'd love you to hear it. And thank you for your time.